At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe. No-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m.? Big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas? The ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk. Real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And it is 8:06 in the morning. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Thursday, the 26th of June. Thank you for joining us this morning. Cameron Eisenberg is on the other side of the glass this morning, producing as he has been doing for quite a while now, actually. Probably a few weeks, you know. I'm not sure, you know. Yeah, Jeff Sky did it for 20-plus years. I'm not sure quite a while at this point settles in, but, you know. But acknowledging you're losing your newcomer status here. You're becoming, you know, you're here sort of deal. Anyway, here's what we're doing this morning besides me rambling. First part of the program, we are going to talk to Brett Stomps from Hood River Fireworks. And next Friday, we're that close to the 4th of July, folks. We're 8 days away. We're going to talk to Brett about the fundraising effort for the fireworks show in Hood River because, of course, it is all a community-based show. It doesn't receive funding from any governmental sources at all. It's all through a community fundraising, so we'll talk to Brett about that. And I think we may talk about the parade as well. I think they're taking entries on their website, at least, for the parade. They'll be on the 4th of July in Hood River as well. Second half of the show, we're supposed to talk Columbia Gorge Community College. I don't know who we're talking to, which adds a little bit of, you know, suspense to the show, I suppose. And a degree of difficulty for me. But if we don't, we'll do something else. Not sure what, but we'll do something else because we'll have to. But anyway, first of all, before I do any of that, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1917, U.S. troops entered World War I as the first troops of the American Expeditionary Force landed in Saint-Nazaire, France. 1945, the Charter of the United Nations signed by 50 countries in San Francisco. 1948, the Berlin airlift began in earnest after the Soviet Union cut off land and water routes to the isolated western sector of Berlin. 1963, President John F. Kennedy visited West Berlin, where he delivered his famous speech expressing solidarity with the city's residents, declaring, Ich bin ein Berliner, I am a Berliner. 1993, President Bill Clinton announced the U.S. had launched missiles against Iraqi targets because of compelling evidence Iraq had plotted to assassinate former President George H.W. Bush. 1996, in the case of U.S. versus Virginia, the U.S. Supreme Court found that the Virginia Military Institute's male-only admission policy violated the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. VMI enrolled its first female cadets the following year. 1997, the first Harry Potter novel, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone by J.K. Rowling, was published in the United Kingdom. It was later released in the U.S. under the title Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. 2008, in District of Columbia versus Heller, the Supreme Court struck down a handgun ban in the District of Columbia as it affirmed 5-4 that an individual's right to gun ownership is protected by the Second Amendment. 2013, in the case of U.S. versus Windsor, the U.S. Supreme Court gave the nation's legally married same-sex couples equal federal footing with all other married Americans and also cleared the way for same-sex marriages to resume in California in a separate decision. And in 2015, in its 5-4 Obergefell versus Hodges decision, the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage across the country, ruling that state-level bans on same-sex marriage violated the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses of the 14th Amendment. Days for today, it's Beautician's Day today. It's Forgiveness Day, which is something we really always should show. It's National Barcode Day. Apparently we're saluting the barcode on your various items. I remember when cash registers, they typed in the price into the cash register. Boy, what an old person I am, I guess. It's also National Handshake Day today. For food today, we got a lot of stuff here today for food. Got like four things. A lot, and sweet seems to be a theme here. First of all, it's Tropical Cocktails Day today. So again, celebrate responsibly. It is National Coconut Day today. I think I'm in the minority on this. I really like coconut cream pie. I know there are some folks who I say that and just cringe. Also like Almond Joy and Mounds bars, candy bars. And somebody just did cringe, by the way, in this studio. So which one, you don't like both of them? Is it the coconut or, yeah? Yeah, okay, all right, just kind of, yeah. Just don't like them, okay. Well, it's also National Chocolate Pudding Day today. That's always good. That's a good basic dessert right there. And you may not be familiar with this, but if you've been walking through the popsicle aisle for any amount of years in your life, especially maybe if you're my age, here we go again. It's National Bomb Pop Day today. If you do not know what bomb pops are, and I'm not sure Cameron does, it's the look he gave me. They're the red, white, and blue popsicles. And they were invented in the mid, or put together, invented, because popsicles were invented, obviously. But this kind of popsicle was come up with, and it's not actually a popsicle because it wasn't by the popsicle folks, during the Cold War in the 50s. And it was in the shape of a six-fin missile, is what it was. Lovely thing when you think about it for your dessert, but this was a much more peaceful version of this. And they're still around. I think you can still get them. And they're red, white, and blue. And popular for the 4th of July, coming up here in a few days. So it's National Bomb Pop Day. We salute the person who came up with the idea and made a few dollars off it, it's fair to say. 8:12 in the morning, Brett Stomps, Hood River Fireworks, coming up.
Are fleas and ticks giving you and your furry friends a bit too much of a rough time? Well, worry no more. Columbia Veterinary Hospital in the Dalles is your one-stop clinic for pet protection. Our team of expert veterinarians will positively knock those pesky critters out of the park. Beware, ticks and other pests are a year-round nuisance, not just a spring and summer issue. Be sure to keep you and your pets safe this summer and all year round with Columbia Vet Hospital Flea and Tick Prevention. Columbia Veterinary Hospital, serving the gorge in the Dalles.
To every referee, umpire, and judge in high school sports, we want to say, we see you.
We see everything you do for us that goes unnoticed.
We see the positive role models that you are.
We see the way you get unfairly criticized just for doing your job.
The truth is, we couldn't play without you.
So thank you for investing your time in us.
Thank you for protecting the integrity of the game, no matter what.
We hope you always know how much we appreciate you.
Because without you, this is just recess. It's not really a game.
Thank you for always making it possible for us to play the sports we love.
Want to serve the students in your community? Sign up to become an official in Oregon at highschoolofficials.com.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:14 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined by Brett Stomps with Hood River Fireworks. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me back.
Well, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And, of course, 4th of July is just a bit more than a week away. I assume that you've got everything planned and you're ready to go for next week.
Yep, same as usual. Every year I'm getting a little bit better, a little bit more prepared. So getting used to the role a little bit more.
Garcia will be out at, you know, the marina area of Hood River waterfront area on the 4th of July at dusk. And, of course, one of the important things about this for people to know is that this fireworks show, it doesn't get any help from city or county government like some others in the area. This is all community-based, isn't it?
Yes, 100% community-funded.
And so how is fundraising going?
Actually pretty good. What I'd like to tell you this year is we actually started a raffle, which you can join by going to our website, hoodriverfireworks.com. And so we're looking to engage with our local businesses going forward and allow them to offer opportunities in the way of a raffle. So, for example, you donate $20 and you get a chance to win, a Wet Planet rafting trip for two, or Cascade Cliff Winery tour for six. Big Winds offered a foil lesson for two, and we're open for more people who want to donate a raffle and get in at the last second here, but those are some of the things we're offering this year to help fundraise and engage our businesses in the area. Mm-hmm.
So if someone would like to purchase a raffle ticket as their way of donating, how can they do that?
Yeah, so you go to our website, hoodriverfireworks.com, and you navigate to the donation page, and it'll be right in front of you. Mm-hmm.
How much does it take to put a fireworks show on anymore? I mean, I know it seems like costs escalate, like for everything else, fairly quickly.
Right. Yeah, so in the last years that we've talked, right, yeah, we've maintained a pretty consistent budget year over year for maybe the last 4 to 5 years, and mm-hmm. I mean, our show is shrinking little by little, and we're having to change to different styles of, we change our size of the fireworks shells. So we might go from a 6-inch shell down to like a 4-inch shell. They're cheaper. We can extend the show and keep the length going, and we might switch to, say, a box. But right now, we're working with a budget of around $20,000. And I know some of our local communities just nearby are working with almost twice that budget.
Tell people how this all gets put together, because it's a volunteer group in this area that sets up the whole show.
Yeah, that's right. So anybody listening who wants to help either one fundraise in the years to come or help light off some fireworks with us and help us set it off, go to our website again. But, yeah, so everybody who's down at the Spit, which will be closed on the 4th of July and July 5th, is certified to be there. They have taken the classes, right? Mm-hmm. They've been checked, you're handling explosives, right? So we have to do some background research for you on you to make sure you're clear to go down there. But, yeah, everybody down there is certified to be there, and we have Wise Fire, who does a big old, they run like two tanker trucks around that area to keep it wet and dampened down. So we take mm-hmm. as many precautions as we can.
Mm-hmm. With, you mentioned the Spit being closed. When are you going to close it this year?
Yeah, so it'll be closed basically all of July 4th. Mm-hmm. So all of July 3rd, you're welcome to go down there and hang out. But all of July 4th, it'll be closed, and then July 5th around noon is when we hope to have it open again.
Yeah, you have to do some cleanup afterwards, but usually it doesn't seem to take Correct. You guys too long to get the place cleaned up.
Oh, man. We've gotten donations from, say, like ERS is going to donate a tractor for us this year mm-hmm. so that we can work with larger pallets at once, and so we have less setup time. This stuff used to take us almost all of, we used to shut down the whole Spit all of July 3rd for setup and just getting the racks ready. And now we've almost eliminated an entire day in just being clever with the way we set up.
Also, though, there's the parade in the morning. I saw on your website and on the Facebook page that you guys are taking donations for that as well. I mean, not donations, but entries for that.
Yeah, actually, yeah, thank you for recognizing that. So, as a reminder to everyone else out there, the Hood River Lions Club is in charge of the Hood River 4th of July Parade. I work closely with them to help them, because a lot of people go to our website to look for that information, and so, you know, working with them, it was like, hey, I get asked all the time, let's just put a registration page on there. So now, yes, we are allowing people to register in advance this year. You will have to pay at the entry lineup, which will start at 9 a.m. on Elliott Drive, and the parade itself will start at 10 a.m. as usual.
Mm-hmm. And again, it'll take the usual route, I assume, down to Jackson Park on the Heights.
Yeah, there's a small twist this year. You know, they're doing some construction there, so don't overthink it. But, yeah, same route as usual, except when we get to May, and I believe it's 7th Street, you'll cut down to the north by the pool, and you'll just keep going down the hill. Mm-hmm. So that's how you exit this year.
Okay. So that's what's coming up, though, for the Hood River 4th of July Parade. And, again, they're going to start at 10 o'clock in the morning next Friday. There's also the Collis Cramner Memorial Run that's going on. You register for that. I think it's at 7 in the morning on the 4th of July. They're doing day of registration only. That is going to be up at the Odell Fire Department, and they will walk or run, depending on what you want to do, down to Jackson Park about the time the parade's going to get underway. So so all sorts of things are planned here on the 4th of July. You know, I think people do wonder, and of course, we just went through a pretty horrific fire, obviously, here just to our east a little bit ago. And you mentioned this, I think, on your website a little bit. Yeah, decision making if we do get in some fire situations. I know there has been a time or two, unfortunately, in the last few years where you have had to bail out of this.
Yeah, and you know, we've been doing the show down at the Spit since 1978, and if not a little bit earlier, and we haven't had any major fires. You know, we're surrounded by water, but here's the deal when I look at fire situations, right? Almost always around 10 p.m., the wind is going to die down.
Right.
So we almost know that to be pretty true consistently around here. But in 2020, we canceled due to just crowd management, right? And then in 2023, we canceled due to the Underwood fire, which was out of respect to those who were losing their homes. And, like, nothing's worse than a nice backdrop of your neighbor's houses burning down. Like, that's awful. And I haven't met one person who was like, that was a bad decision. And so, basically, as you guys saw in the Rowena fire, I mean, the highways were completely shut down. There was so much gridlock traffic out here that the last thing we want to do is create more chaos around navigating our roads. And so if we have something like that already existing, like, we're going to shut it down, like, no questions. I have to make that call within 48 hours, though. Otherwise, we do not get a refund on our supplies. So that's a really tricky part, because otherwise we will default back to New Year's Eve, which I enjoy doing. It's just always kind of a toss-up on what the weather's going to be like.
Well, yeah. The New Year's Eve is, well, you know, at least for shooting off the fireworks, you know, you don't have the fire worries at New Year's Eve that we do at this time of year. And, you know, but again, and I think you've said before, you know, doing a New Year's Eve show also depends on the resources you have available, which comes back to the donations you receive for this show.
Right. If I actually, and this is always a catch-22, right? I've always been trying to wonder, like, do I just create a second bank account for people to donate just into the New Year's Eve? Or, like, is there some kind of future in the next 10 years or whatever where I could do a drone show during 4th of July and then a normal regular fireworks show in over New Year's Eve? And so it's complicated, though, because drones cost way more money, and I'm not sure exactly how we could transition to that as a community. It makes sense. We do polls, and there will be a poll going out on our newsletter, so if you're listening and you want to give us your opinion, you know, back to our website, hoodriverfireworks.com. But I'm looking for polls because I'm not here. It's not the Brett Stomps fireworks show, right? I'm here to support the community and what you guys really want. And right now people are selecting or choosing a 4th of July show, like traditionally, more so.
Well, you mentioned with drone shows. Have you looked into that? I mean, it kind of sounds like you have.
A little bit, man. And, you know, the truth is there are worries about that, right? You hear about drones flying off, they get disconnected, right? And they just zoom off full speed out into the woods or something, or they land on someone's car or on a person, right? Like, they get disconnected from the group. And who knows? I mean, what's, you got a hot light in there showing off, light, you know, I don't know. But there are concerns. They're batteries, right? They explode if they hit the ground hard enough. So I'm not, they can be about $100,000.
Oh, really? Okay.
Sounds like a lot. And I mean, moving in down to like a maybe $50,000 show doesn't get you that much time either, though. So it's kind of like back to the bang for your buck kind of thing. It's it's a progressing moving target. I'm still interested, though.
I do wonder if that, as time goes on, if that cost also comparatively goes down as time goes on. Of course, I would also think, though, you have to have somebody pretty skilled to do it.
We would have to hire it out. At that point, our volunteers would probably be out of the picture, and that would be part of the large cost of it all, too. So it would be fundraising would be the main goal, with the idea of paying a company to do it. I don't think we would be able to have a staff dedicated to learning, like, all of that, maintaining all of the drones.
Well, I probably also should point out for the folks at the Port of Hood River, because I'm sure they'll be doing that the next week, along with the spit closure, they'll be coming on the 4th of July. For those who are going to go down to the waterfront or Port Marina Park to watch the fireworks, very important that we do note for people, if you're going to drive down there, be patient down there, because it is going to, the traffic will always be bad. Especially after the show. So remember to be patient out there, and don't bring your own fireworks.
Correct. Yeah, fireworks are banned the whole area. Right. Hood River, the port, all that.
Yeah, not just the port this time, but everywhere. So,
Everywhere.
But again, port folks would appreciate if you do go down there to be patient and know it's going to take a while to get out of that area on that evening. This isn't enough ingress or egress for an event like this. Again, though, to donate to the show, and again, this is important. You guys go to $20,000. It sounds like it costs to get the show done. I see. You know, if you go over that mark, you're just putting that money away for the next go around.
Yeah, at this time, I mean, we might like add a little bit more to kind of fight the inflation, but I'm not here to just put a huge show on. I would love to maybe try and keep saving some of that money and get us to a New Year's show.
We'll see. Again, though, it depends how much the community donates. So one more time, if people want to donate or they want to volunteer in some way, what do they do?
Yeah, all the information you can find is on hoodriverfireworks.com.
Brett Stops, who helps organize the Hood River Fireworks event for on the 4th of July. Brett, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is 8:27 in the morning again at dusk on July 4th, next Friday night. It's a Friday night, too. It makes it a little bit more convenient than some of the weeknight 4th of July events. It is coming up on the bottom of the hour. We've got news for you in just a bit. Second half of the show, we may be potpourri here. I'm not quite sure what we're going to be doing here, but we will continue on with the news when we come back after this.
Dear Traction, Toyota has 25 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. The RAV4 has legendary versatility. The Grand Highlander's adult-sized third row is for real. And the Tacoma's wild side comes standard. From job sites to campsites and game nights, there's an all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive Toyota to get you there in style. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Heading down the highway? Pull over at the Little Burger Shack that's been bringing the love. Twin Peaks Drive-In in Hood River. Since the 50s, we've been flipping fresh, juicy burgers, rolling patties by hand, and slinging signature sauces like nobody's business. Add your pick of fries and a malted shake, and you've got a meal worth dancing about. Drive through, walk up, or kick back on the patio with mountain views. Hungry yet? Get to Twin Peaks Drive-In. It's your little old burger shack by the airport, baby. That's where it's at.
As summer travel season begins, Washington state agencies are reminding drivers to secure their loads and protect others on the road. The Secure Your Load, Save a Life campaign is underway. Unsecured loads were responsible for 337 crashes and 32 injuries last year in Washington. Along with the threats this kind of debris poses to drivers, it's also a major source of roadside litter. The Washington State Ecology and the Washington State Department of Transportation collected more than 6.4 million pounds of litter in 2024. Nearly 40% of the litter along roads comes from items falling or blowing out of vehicles. This year's campaign continues to focus on raising awareness and preventing accidents. Washington State Patrol troopers will conduct patrols across the state monitoring for unsecured loads. Call 911 if you see a dangerous unsecured load or something fall from a vehicle. To learn more, visit SecureLoadsWA.org.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And we are back at 8:30 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. What is in the news? Well, a bill that would transfer 150 acres of Forest Service land within the Dalles Municipal Watershed to city ownership is headed to the House floor. Oregon 2nd District Congressman Cliff Bentz says the bill received support in a federal land subcommittee hearing, and the Forest Service acknowledged a land transfer would benefit the community. It was voted out of committee and will now move to the House floor. The city of the Dalles relies on its municipal watershed for 80% of its annual water supply. Bentz says this bill would allow the city to expand the size of its reservoir and allow much less red tape in taking action to protect city water infrastructure works and the city's watershed. If it passes the floor of the House, the bill will move on to the Senate. A top Oregon Democrat has proposed paring back the numerous tax and fee increases in a massive transportation package, marking a last-minute effort to win over enough hesitant lawmakers to push the bill through in the final days of this year's legislative session. House Speaker Julie Fahey, a Eugene Democrat, proposed adjustments to the bill on Wednesday so that it would raise $11.67 billion by 2035 through numerous new or increased taxes or fees, about $3 billion less than an earlier version of the bill, according to a draft legislative report that was obtained by the Oregonian and Oregon Live. That would mean less money for road maintenance, local bridge replacement projects, and pedestrians and cyclist infrastructure projects than the initial Democratic proposed package. Fire crews responded to a small brush fire along Hood River's East Side Road on Wednesday afternoon. The fire proved to be less than an acre in size, as crews were able to jump on it quickly after it was reported just after 4 in the afternoon. The challenge was dealing with the terrain the fire was in, along with strong winds that would have moved it uphill. But the fire was quickly knocked down, and crews were into the mop-up phase within about an hour. Incident command indicated the fire was less than 0.2 acres in size. The Wasco County Sheriff's Office says a right-of-entry form has been developed for property owners affected by the Rowena fire. The form gives permission to the county and state to assess your property for the purpose of cleanup activities. I should say access your property. Without a signed ROE, a property may not be eligible for cleanup activities. Copies of the ROE forms are available emailed. Those who would like one or have questions can call Wasco County Emergency Management at 541-980-0200. The weather, going to be a mix of sun and clouds today. Highs will be in the 70s. West winds could get to 25 miles per hour, particularly in the eastern part of the gorge. And our current temperatures at this time. In the Dalles, it is 64. Hood River, 62. Mid-Columbia today time is 8:32.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep, it's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to adopt a dog, just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
The 2025 Mosier Fest is this Saturday, starting at noon at the Mosier Community School. This is a free event with family hour from noon till 1:30. Children and those young at heart will enjoy the magician and interactive music. After family hour, there will be a roster of musicians to get you up and dancing till 8. There will be art and community booths, as well as food and beverages. Celebrate responsibly. Spend a fun day in Mosier this Saturday at the 2025 Mosier Fest.
Statistics show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. And each day, over 1,000 dogs are euthanized in shelters across the country. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war.
Hannah and I, since we've been together, we have done so much. There's nothing I won't do now as long as Hannah's by my side. Without Hannah, I'd probably still be stuck in the living room with the curtains drawn, with my back to the wall, with probably a gun on my lap.
The majority of service dogs from canines are rescues, and with each pairing, two lives are changed forever. We rescue the dog rescues the warrior. To learn more about how Canines for Warriors is saving lives at both ends of the leash, please visit caninesforwarriors.org. That's caninesforwarriors.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
It is now 8:35 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, and I get just to ramble here apparently for a little while. My favorite thing to do. Not necessarily. But I thought one place I would start is because I was curious. I'm not a Harry Potter fan. Let me start out with that. I'm a fan of what they made kids do, which was read. I'm a fan of that. Mary, some people got their nose out of joint because supposedly, well, this is about witchcraft and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it's getting kids to read. So to me, it was worthy right there. And then, of course, it became a huge franchise of everything that's involved. But what I didn't know here, though, until I read this morning, earlier on the show, that, you know, we know the first book is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Well, apparently that's only here. Apparently when it was released in the UK, it was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Apparently, according to a couple sources, the reason they changed it was Scholastic, which was the publisher of the book in this country, apparently. And they do children's books in school. I mean, Scholastic books are well known. They believe the original title would be confusing and unappealing to American children. They apparently thought that the word philosopher was archaic. Really? It was archaic. And didn't convey the magical nature of the story as effective as sorcerer. That part, I'll go on the second half. I think there's a point to that. The idea that I don't think the word philosopher is archaic. That and again, this was about, 30 years ago or so, 25 to 30. Yeah, and they also thought some other options, one of which was Harry Potter and the School of Magic. Cameron wrinkled his nose on that one. So, I are you a Harry Potter fan? Okay, you are. So you probably already knew this stuff. Yeah, I'm an old out of it person, so I had no idea. They gave us Hardy Boys mysteries, what they gave my age group when I was a kid. You have no idea what I just said, did you? I did this with Brandon, too, by the way. It's always, the gap gets wider for me as time goes on. But anyway, it was J.K. Rowling who suggested the Sorcerer's Stone. And it was aimed to make the title more accessible and appealing to American readers. Which is probably the same reasoning people use when they take British television shows that are really popular in Britain and develop an American following, remake it for American television, and then it stinks. In this case, obviously, it worked out fine. I think the book was probably just good enough, well-written enough, and compelling enough. The title, once they were into it, the title didn't matter. And of course, then we led to us to a number of different books, number of movies, made stars out of some people, made a lot of people a lot of money. It still is, by the way. Are they doing a remake of those movies? They are. Do we just now just remake movies? Is that all we do? Because we have the 10,000th edition of Superman apparently coming out. What was another one? Oh, they're doing another Jurassic Park film again. The dinosaurs are going to get away again. I hate to spoil it for everybody, but That's barely what's going to happen. I think that one doesn't change much. I didn't notice. I saw the. I'm not a movie fan. I'm not. But I've seen the ads for the Superman movie, because if you do watch anything on video, I don't think you can escape them. And Superman appears to be much more angsty about his powers in this movie than he has. I mean, Superman never had any angst about his powers when the guy named George Reeves in the 50s on television was Superman. If you've ever seen those are very funny, by the way. The farther out you get from them, the funnier they become, especially when you see what they've done with the movies and you watch the TV series, The Adventures of Superman, the original, I think it was the original one in the 50s. And it's just humorous, you know. George did not strike you, whoever was playing, George Reeves was the actor, he did not strike you as being Superman-like in physique, I'll put it that way. But so we got Superman coming out. We got, again, you know, sometime a Harry Potter movie coming out. We have another Jurassic Park movie. The one that did that I might be piqued to go watch. Seth MacFarlane, of course, who is the brilliant comedic mind, or sick comedic mind, depending on how you feel about it, or both, behind Family Guy, which I understand there are, I have a sick sense of humor. I love that show. It's wonderful. I like the fact that it almost knows no boundaries. I enjoy that greatly. But he is apparently, I don't know if he's just a producer, or if he's just executive producer behind the et cetera. They are going to do another a version of, for those who remember this, the TV shows and they weren't on for very long. There's only about 12 made, I think, when I was, you know, a kid. And then in the 80s, I think it was, it had to be before the early 90s because O.J. Simpson was in them. It was with Leslie Nielsen, Police Squad, the Naked Gun movies. They're doing a send up of that. Apparently, Liam Neeson is going to be in the lead role of Detective Frank Drebin, if I remember right, was the name they used. He's going to be like the son or grandson of the Leslie Nielsen character. But they bring Liam Neeson to play this character of the bumbling police officer. It's a send up of police shows, is what it is. It was that were very popular in the 70s, in particular. Yeah, you know, the FBI, they'd be running around in cars and getting out and shooting at bad guys. It was the whole nine yards. It was wonderful 70s television. Mannix was another one in those. Veins, Barnaby Jones. I wouldn't put Matlock in there. Matlock was a little different. But anyway, they're going to bring that back. And I will be curious on that one because, you know, the Seth MacFarlane involvement makes me think this could be really good. It could really be funny. But I think there's some others, but it does, though, seem like we're just recycling movies. We're not really making new stuff anymore. Of course, it's hard to make money at movies these days. Did I see where the latest film by... It was the Elio film at the box office. I'm trying to remember who... The name of the production company that does that. Pixar. And if I remember, I'm just looking it up here real quick. I don't think... It did very well at the box office. Yeah, it didn't, apparently. It's worst opening weekend ever for Pixar with Elio. And, of course, some of that is just because people now... I'll admit this. I mean, with the Naked Gun type film. If that is, and it is coming out, like I've seen the trailers for it. I will probably wait to watch it at home. I'm not a movie theater guy. I can't remember the last time I was in a movie theater. Yeah, oh boy, it was really low, this one. Now, I'm just looking at a graph for it for the opening weekend. 2.1 million in ticket sales in its first 3 days in the theaters. Elemental, 2 years ago, had been their previous low at 29.6 million. Inside Out 2, and this might explain why you recycle movies, because they're obviously Inside Out 1. Inside Out 2 had their second highest opener last year at $154.2 million in domestic ticket sales. It does seem anymore you need the sequels do better than original stuff. Which is one of the reasons why you see sequels, I guess. That makes it pretty obvious. I'm just looking at some of the movies that have come out here recently. Moana 2 was a big winner. Despicable Me 4. Inside Out 2 was the biggest winner, it appears. Kung Fu Panda 4 did well.
That's too bad, though. I mean, do you come out with classics by just re-churning movies and the same stuff over and over and over again?
And just redoing it in some way? I don't know. Anyway, I find that interesting for some reason. I'm not sure why. Because I'm not a movie fan. I'm really not. Well, it's 8:45. You can tell I'm just kind of rambling here this morning. Tomorrow, by the way, Oregon State Senator Dan Bonham's scheduled to be with us, or Daniel Bonham. I'm sorry, Daniel. We'll talk to him about politics. Apparently, he weighed in. They did a resolution to let the State Senate, by the way, the other day, saluting the Portland Trailblazers as an important part of Oregon's fiber, I guess. I don't know how to say it. I don't know why they picked now to do it. Somebody decided to, and I don't begrudge a little lighthearted stuff in the heavy work you're doing there. But apparently he's getting into the NBA analyst business. So we're going to Oregon Live story. He panned the Anfernee Simons trade. Didn't like it. I think we'll talk more transportation, wildfire funding, and things like that in the final weekend. I hope he'll be with us because, I always warn this when you get to this time of the legislative session. Sometimes at the last minute we get derailed because something is happening. And you understand that. Like Jeff Helfrich last week. And we'll plan to curl back and maybe have, and we'll probably try to have them on each in July for a show. And we'll do kind of a wrap up, if you will, and their thoughts on the session. But yeah, apparently Daniel was not a fan of the Anfernee Simons deal that saw Jrue Holiday. And I'll be honest, I'm not a basketball guy, so it's really hard for me to do this. But I know you like the Blazers out there, a lot of you. I'm not sure how you trade a mid-20s aged guard. You know, he did not necessarily have the easiest transition to point guard, and they've got Scoot Henderson coming up. So you may be just kind of clearing out the books here a little bit for someone else. And you make a deal for a mid-30s. He's been a good basketball player. Jrue Holiday, he's won a championship, a couple championships. Outstanding defensive player. His numbers have been trending downward. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how this all fits particularly with the Blazers. And then the Blazers last night, remember, took a Yang Hansen, I believe was his name, from China, all defensive player of the year in the Chinese Professional League in 2024. He's been an all-leaguer the last 2 years. And they drafted him, or they didn't draft him. They took a player from Washington State with the 11th pick and then traded him promptly to Memphis, who probably they must have wanted him, for the number 16 pick in the draft. And then the Blazers took Hansen, who is 7'2", and you just took Donovan Clingan at 7, and who appeared to have a pretty good rookie season, by the way, last year. Now, there was a time, by the way, in basketball, and this was my childhood, where frankly having you didn't have enough 7-footers. You couldn't have enough of them. Today you hardly see them at all. Because the game has changed so much, it's almost unrecognizable. And the emphasis on the 3-point shot. Apparently, most of the draft projections had Hansen at late first round into the second round. Not certainly at 16. Blazers got a couple draft picks out of this. Clearly, I think a 2028 first rounder and a couple second rounders to make the deal with Memphis to make that pick and then trade it immediately and move down. But you do wonder, is like you're kind of scratching your head and going, what exactly are you trying to build here? Well, what's the plan? Sending Simons off for a 35-year-old. Now, that's the sort of deal you make if you're trying to win right now. And I'm not sure you're there yet if you're the Blazers. I understand they got close to that play-in tournament last year, but one of the things you have to be careful of is evaluating the late season improvement of a team after they pretty much are at the point where it's unlikely they can contend for a postseason spot. And they were to that point. And then they went on a little run. Ultimately, I think they were 3 or 4 games out when it's all said and done. I'm not sure how close they really got to the postseason. But those are really difficult evaluations to make where you go, are we actually progressing, or is it just because with nothing left to play for, everybody just kind of gets, you know, and sometimes teams that are playing for something or already in the playoffs, that's when they do their load management and don't play their key players against you. That's a hard evaluation to make. It's really difficult. But you do wonder where exactly are the Blazers? And is Holiday, remember, Holiday's been traded for once before by the Blazers when he was traded from Milwaukee to here. And then he promptly got flipped to Boston for younger personnel. Maybe that's what's coming here. And that's possible. And it may just be the Blazers changing the mix a bit here of who their young people are and what they're emphasizing. But we'll see. Simons was a high scorer, but remember the NBA, keep this in mind. Somebody has to score in that league. You have to have people that score points because they score 90 to 100, 110 a game. So somebody scores somehow. Somebody ends up being your high scorer. So that really isn't a good way to evaluate. It'll be interesting. The NBA draft first round was last night. That's the one everybody pays attention to. NHL draft tomorrow night, by the way. We'll see what the Kraken do. I'm told by folks I know that they want to make a big splash. That they want to get somebody, they want to get a big name of some kind. Preferably a forward. There are some potentials out there, but good luck with that. And do you really want to do it? But they do need front-end talent in the forward lines. They do. They need front-end forward talent. No question. Anyway, for what it's worth, there we go. 8:52. I got us there. Somehow, some way. We will come back. We'll take a look at what's going on in the area right after this.
Oaks Amusement Park, Oregon's historic amusement park, is celebrating 120 years of safe, wholesome family fun. This landmark season, visit the Oaks for thrill rides, mini golf, carnival games, and roller skating. And experience a classic piece of Oregon history that has been delighting and exciting families since 1905. Plan your visit, view deals and discounts, and learn more about Oaks Park history today at oakspark.com.
Bring family and friends
with the party of the red.
Oaks Amusement Park.
At Carrier, we know that a comfortable home is a happy one. Whether it's with innovative breakthroughs in heating and cooling efficiency or with different ways to control your home's temperature air quality, we're always imagining new ways to make your home totally comfortable. Oregon Equipment's been serving you since 1946 and looks forward to keeping you comfortable while saving you money throughout the year. Yep, since 1946. Living local, buying local, and supporting local. OregonEquipment.com.
Heading down the highway? Pull over at the Little Burger Shack that's been bringing the love. Twin Peaks Drive-In in Hood River. Since the 50s, we've been flipping fresh, juicy burgers, rolling patties by hand, and slinging signature sauces like nobody's business. Add your pick of fries and a malted shake, and you've got a meal worth dancing about. Drive through, walk up, or kick back on the patio with mountain views. Hungry yet? Get to Twin Peaks Drive-In. It's your little old burger shack by the airport, baby. That's where it's at.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And we welcome you back as it is now 8:55 in the morning. Give you a couple things here before we take our last break here in a second. Reptile Man today, 3 o'clock, Stevenson Community Library. And the Dalles Arts Center, they have got their artist talk on Life's Rich Palettes, that exhibit. That'll be at 6 o'clock in the evening at the center on 220 East 4th in the Dalles. Tickets are $5, available at thedallesartscenter.org. Also, we'll mention the United Way of the Columbia Gorge Concert and Live Auction featuring the C.J. Mickens Band Friday at the Bargeway Pub in the Dalles. Doors open at 5:30. Tickets $25 in advance at the Bargeway Pub and the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce at UnitedWayColumbiaGorge.org. $30 at the door. It's a 21 and over event. 8:55 in the morning. We'll come back and wrap it up after this.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. It is 8:57 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Tomorrow on the show, again, hopefully Oregon State Senator Daniel Bonham is going to join us. Hopefully the schedule will allow that to occur. We will have with us, we know, Eric Bosler from Columbia Gorge Master, or Central Gorge Master Gardeners. We'll talk about some things they have got going on. And then on a Monday on the program, it is going to be Marty Heiser with us to talk about Fort Dalles 4th that is coming up on a Friday of next week. We'll talk about all the activities they've got going on. Liz Lance from Q-Life is going to join us. We'll talk about the efforts ongoing to improve the public Wi-Fi and internet access and broadband access in Wasco County and in the Dalles. So we'll do that on Monday on the program. So that's all coming up on Mid-Columbia Today, but we are out of time for today. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Friday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Thinking of climbing?